What's going on, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of SWAC Talk, the show where we cover the SWAC inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you on this Wednesday, hump day, week one SWAC action coming at you. Got three games this week. Had one on Sunday, so we're going to talk about that game, and then we're going to preview the upcoming games. And we're just going to go ahead, and hit the ground rolling, man. We're going to get this thing jumped off and do it the way we normally do. Facebook.com/SWAC Talk, Twitter.com/SWAC Talk 76, Instagram.com/SWAC Talk, and SWAC Talk 76 at gmail.com is the email address. Go ahead and like those, follow those. You know how we do. All right, so without, you know, any further ado, we're going to go ahead and talk about the game that took place on Sunday. Jackson State got them a dub over Edward Waters College Tigers by the score of 53-0. pretty much a game that Jackson State did what they had to do. Kind of like I said early in my preview, that they wouldn't really show too much. You know what I mean? Edward Waters is a team that you could keep it very basic and have success. They are an NAIA team, so you're going to have the depth, the size, you know, pretty much the talent, the experience, whatever, advantage over them. And this was their only game of the season, so they, you know, they would have to get them dollars and, you know, be a sparring partner. So it was a nice little preseason type warm-up, even though it's obviously a regular season game. But, you know, a nice little preseason warm-up against a team who, you know, not going to punch back too much. A good sparring partner. Jackson State, like I said, they did what they had to do. They opened up the scoring with 11 minutes and 36 seconds to go in the first quarter when Warren Newman caught a 6-yard pass from Jalen Jones. Extra point was good. Six plays, 40 yards, 2 minutes and 15 second time of possession. 4 minutes and 35 seconds in the first quarter, Glenn Misiak kicked a 23-yard field goal for Jackson State, capping off an 11-play, 50-yard drive that took 5 minutes and 17 seconds off the clock. 14 minutes and 9 seconds to go in the second quarter, Kimani Clark, 8-yard run, extra point good, 9 plays, 62 yards, 3 minutes and 41 seconds. 1 minute and 7 seconds to go in the second quarter, Jalen Jones, 6-yard run, extra point good, 2 plays, 30 yards, 46 seconds off the clock. With 11 seconds to go in the second quarter, Daylon Baldwin caught a 10-yard pass from Jones, extra point good, 4 plays, 44 yards, 44 seconds off the clock. At that point, the score was 31-0, which was the halftime score. Third quarter got started, 11 minutes and 55 seconds to go. Kimani Clark, 10-yard run. 2-point conversion was no good. 7 plays, 47 yards, 2 minutes and 56 time of possession, 37-0. 13 minutes and 26 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Greg Williams, a 1-yard run. Extra point, no good. 5 plays, 30 yards, 1 minute and 34 second time of possession, 43-0. 9 minutes and 25 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Noah Anderson, 26-yard field goal, capping off a 4-play, 1-yard drive, taking 1 minute and 36 seconds off the clock, 46-0. And with 9 minutes and 20 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, Christian Allen caught a 24-yard pass from Quincy Casey. Extra point good, 1 play, 24 yards, 5 seconds time of possession. Final score, 53-0. Jackson State had 8 first downs. Edward Waters had 8 first downs, 2 rushing, 5 passing, and 1 by penalty. Jackson State, 27 first downs, 14 rushing, 11 passing, 2 by penalty. Edward Waters ran for 21 net yards on 29 attempts, 0.7 yards per rush. Obviously, no touchdowns. Jackson State, 183 yards rushing on 42 carries, 4.4 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns. Edward Waters was 9 of 21 passing for 83 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Jackson State, 25 of 33, 252 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Edward Waters, 104 total yards on 50 plays, good for 2.1 yards per play. They did fumble once and lost it. 7 penalties for 55 yards for Edward Waters. Jackson State, 435 yards, a total offense on 75 plays, 5.8 yards per play. They fumbled 5 times, didn't lose any though, so that was a good thing for them. 8 penalties for 60 yards. Edward Waters punted 8 times for 260 yards for 32 yards per punt. Jackson State punted 3 times for 107 yards for 35 yards per punt. Edward Waters was 1 of 13 on third downs and 1 of 3 on fourth downs. No, obviously no red zone trips, no sacks, no extra points made, no field goals. Jackson State was 5 of 11 on third down, 1 of 1 on fourth down, 8 for 8 in the red zone, 4 sacks, 5 of 6 on extra points, and 2 for 2 on field goals. Rashard Branch was the only quarterback to play for Edward Waters. He was 9 of 21, 83 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 4 sacks. Jalen Jones, 17 of 19 for Jackson State, 163 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, and no sacks. Quincy Casey, 8 of 14, 89 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, no sacks. Deshaun Hughey led Edward Waters in rushing with 10 yards on 6 carries. That's good for 1.7 yards per carry. Malik Stevens, 8 carries, 8 yards. That's 1 yard per carry. Darian Staten, 2 carries, 8 yards, 4 yards per carry. Spencer Carter, 2 carries, 4 yards, 2 yards per carry. And Rashard Branch, 11 carries, minus 9 yards, and minus 0.8 yards per rush. Jackson State was led by Kimani Clark, 18 carries, 94 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5.1 yard per rush. Greg Williams, 11 carries, 57 yards, 1 touchdown, 5.2 yards per carry. Jalen Jones, 7 carries, 39 yards, 1 touchdown, 5.6 yards per carry. Tyson Alexander, 4 carries, 11 yards, 2.8 yards per carry. And Quincy Casey, 2 carries for negative 16 yards, minus 8 yards per carry. Samuel Thompson led Edward Waters with 3 catches for 28 yards. Quinlan Bisbee, 2 catches, 21 yards. Darian Staten, 1 catch, 16 yards. Deshaun Hughey, 1 catch, 9 yards. Alicia Amy, 2 catches, 9 yards. Warren Newman led Jackson State with 8 catches for 76 yards and a touchdown. Dalen Baldwin, 6 catches, 70 yards and a touchdown. Christian Allen, 4 catches, 41 yards and a touchdown. Kylan Ritchie, 2 catches, 25 yards. Washington, 2 catches, 17 yards. Kimani Clark, 1 catch, 11 yards. Corey Reed, 1 catch, 8 yards. Tyson Alexander, 1 catch, 4 yards. Edward Waters was led in tackles by Tametrius Patty, 8 tackles total. Cameron Thomas, 7. Derek Nichols, 6. Dartell Roll, 5. Deontay Hale, 4. And then they had 4 guys with 3 tackles apiece. And 8 guys with 8 with 2 tackles apiece. Hale, Jackson, and Wright each had 1 tackle for loss. Obviously no sacks. They had 2 forced fumbles, didn't recover any. Jackson State was led by Keontae Hampton with 8 tackles. Joseph Carter, 7. Javian Adams, 5. McIntosh, 4. DeJohn Ward, 3. And then they had 4 guys with 2 tackles apiece and a gang of guys with 1 tackle. Tackles for loss, Carter, 1.5. Lopez, Crane, Clark, Warren, and Mitchell each had 1 tackle for loss. And Lyles had a half a tackle for loss. Sacks, Lopez, Clark, Carter, and Mitchell each had 1. Shaw had a forced fumble. Fumble recovery by Justin Reagan. No interceptions. 1 pass breakup and 2 quarterback hurries. So, obviously, you know, like I said, this was a game that you kind of take from it what you will. Nothing spectacular, obviously, but they did the job. You know, you don't want to mess around with a team like this. You want to knock them out the box early. And, they did that to a degree. I will say, you know, with a new staff, regardless of who it is, that first game, you know, is always an adjustment period. So, you know, in a game like this, you don't want to show too much of your hand. So it's kind of hard to really make any kind of judgment on, you know, what this season is going to be like, what they, you know, what they have on the books. So we'll be looking more forward to them in the future. We're going to go ahead and just stay in Jackson, and we'll preview this first game, which is on Saturday, 2 o'clock kickoff, ESPN3. They host Mississippi Valley. This is a game that, you know, is going to give you a little bit more of an idea of what Jackson had, but I still personally feel like you're not going to get a real true handle on this either, because, I mean, you know, Valley's not a good team. I mean, you know, that's not to diminish anything that Jackson State would probably do in this game, but Valley's not that good. They do at times tend to play tough against Jackson, but that's typically in Valley. In Jackson, they really don't really get out there that much, but it's going to be, you know, important for Valley to come out here and make some statements and try to show what they have in store for people, because they need to make some moves up the ladder themselves. So this is, I mean, it's not a unimportant game. It's a divisional game, so that's obviously important. Both teams are 1-0 in the SWAC since Alcorn forfeited their games because they opted out. So Valley at least has one win in conference. They need to try to build on that if they want to do anything. Coach Dancy is still trying to build that program, and they didn't really do that much last year. Defensively, they were pretty good I won't even say they were good for Valley, because that defense, it wasn't great, but they were solid, and they were definitely a team that could get after the quarterback and make some plays in the backfield. So that's going to be something that Jackson State is going to have to account for, because they have a really good defensive lineman in Jerry Garner, and they're going to try to make some plays on defense, but offensively, I don't think they're going to have enough. Obviously, this first game for Valley, so it's hard to really say. But looking at what Valley did last year, 178 points total, 16.1 points per game, 316 points for the opponents, 28 points per game, 168 total first downs for Valley, 232 for the opponents. Valley ran for 1,565 yards on 429 carries, 3.6 yards per rush, 10 touchdowns, 142 yards per game. The opponents, 1,871 yards on 432 carries, 4.3 yards per carry, 170 yards per game, 15 touchdowns. Valley was 154 of 341 passing, 11 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 1,231 yards. The opponents, 218 of 366, 21 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 2,761 yards. Total offense, Valley 2,796 yards on 770 plays, 3.6 yards per play. When you put up a number like that, you're not going to win very many games. But they early in the season, they were in games. Later, they wore down 254 yards per game. The opponents, 4,632 yards on 798 plays, 5.8 yards per play, 421 yards per game. Valley had 10 fumbles and lost 5. The opponents fumbled 23 times against Valley, and they lost 18. So Valley really had a really solid turnover margin. They were actually on the plus side of things in turnover margin, 14 to 28, so they were plus 14, but they still didn't win very many games, because offensively they just really could not do anything. 61 penalties, 186 yards, so they didn't really even beat themselves with penalties. 44 yards per game in penalties. The opponents, 84 penalties for 811 yards, 73 yards per penalty. Valley averaged 37 yards per punt. The opponents, 36. Valley was 54 of 186 on third down for 29%. That's obviously not going to get it done. 12 of 29 on fourth down, 41%. 59 of 164 for the opponents for 35%. 12 of 19 for the opponents on fourth down for 63%. Valley had 32 sacks. The opponents, 29. 26 total touchdowns for Valley, 39 for the opponents. Valley was 1-4 on field goals, so they didn't even really attempt to score that much when they got into field goal range. They were 17-21 in the red zone, so they, you know, they were efficient when they got down there, but they just didn't have it that many trips, and they were 16-21, so their only field goal was kicked inside the 20-yard line. So, you know, they definitely, anywhere outside of that, they typically went for it on fourth down if they were on that side of the field. The opponents 28-39 in the red zone, 18 touchdowns. So the defense made some stops in the red zone. They did a solid job making stops in the red zone. I mean, they, you know, they 21 times inside the 20, Valley held their opponents to 3 points or less. So that's a pretty solid number, and you can win games like that. But when your offense doesn't help you, you kind of punching into the wind, so to speak. So, Jerick Bryant was the leading rusher for Valley with 151 carries, 676 yards, 8 touchdowns, 4.5 yards per rush, 61 yards per game. Caleb Johnson, 105 carries, 427 yards, 4.1 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, 47 yards per game. John Derrick Smith, 77 carries, 216 yards, 2.8 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, 19 yards per game. Dwayne Barnett, 41 carries, 117 yards, 2.9 yards per carry, no touchdowns, 10.6 yards per game. Jarius Clayton, 18 carries, 123 yards, 6.8 yards per carry, 11 yards per game. The Jerick Bryant was a leading passer. He was 129 of 290. 1,097 yards, 11 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Roger Totten, 20 of 39, no touchdowns, 1 interception, 97 yards. They were led in receiving by Jarius Clayton, 39 catches, 365 yards, 9.3 yards per catch, 3 touchdowns, 33 yards per game. Johnny Wilson, 25 catches, 244 yards, 9.7 yards per catch, 3 touchdowns, 24 yards per game. To Devin Gray, 21 catches for 135 yards, 6.4 yards per catch, no touchdowns, 12 yards per game. Malik Myers, 15 catches, 111 yards, 7.4 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, 12 yards per game. John Derrick Smith, 15 catches, 106 yards, 7 yards per catch, no touchdowns, 9.6 yards per game. And Caleb Johnson, 15 catches, 104 yards, 6.9 yards per catch, 11 yards per game. So they had six guys with double-digit catches, including two running backs with 15 catches apiece. So they spread the ball around, but they just didn't have enough playmakers to really do anything. Anything substantial. Tracy Tompkins was the leading tackler with 107. Tadarius Davis, 83. Keontae Daniels, 62. Fomis Wanyere, 59. Ray Taylor, 55. Jonathan Jones, 54. Jerry Garner, 53. Eric Powell, 38. Ross Silvestri, 33. Deion Reed, 33. Ramirez Kelly, Carey, 33. Jamintha Shaw, 29. Antoine Howard, 27. And William Morgan, 22. Tackles for loss, Jerry Garner, 16, Tompkins, 12.5, Taylor, 11, Davis, 10, Powell, 9.5, Soignier, 6.5, Carey, 6.5, Howard, 4, Bell, 2.5, Daniels, Reed, and Shaw each had 2, Dozier, 1.5, Silvestri, Morgan, Bloodsaw, Williams, and Cooper each had 1, and Latham, 0.5 a tackle for loss. Valley had 91 tackles for loss on the season, so they did a good job of making plays behind the line of scrimmage. Unfortunately, their offense allowed 101 tackles behind the line of scrimmage, so they didn't, you know, obviously every good thing that they did was kind of taken away by what they did on offense. As far as sacks, Jerry Garner, 9 sacks, Eric Powell, 6.5, Carey, 3, Taylor and Bell, 2.5, Davis, 1.5, Dozier, 1.5, Tompkins, Soignier, and Reed each had 1, Howard, Williams and Cooper each had a half a sack apiece. Interceptions, Jonathan Jones with three, Tompkins, Davis, Daniels, Silvestri, Shaw, Morgan, and Bloodsaw each had one interception. So this game is honestly going to come down to Jackson State staying focused and not overlooking Valley. I mean, because at this point, I really feel like there's a lot of buzz going on about Jackson State. So this is a game that they have to stay grounded and really understand that, you know, Valley, although they're not a contender, they are the type of team that can, you know, slip up and bite you if you're not careful. And this is, you know, this is the game that I think is going to be where your coaches have to rein guys in and make sure that they come out and play, because, you know, I doubt Valley will win. I really, you know, it's no insult to them, but, you know, if something was to go left, Valley would be able to hang around, but I don't really even see that happening, because I just don't think Valley has any firepower this year. I would love to be proven wrong by that, but right now I don't really see Valley with much of any chance. So I think Jackson, you know, will handle business and get ready for Grambling next week. So I think this will be another game. They'll show more than they did against Edward Waters, but I still don't think they're going to, you know, shoot their whole load, so to speak. So I'm going to go with a score of Jackson State 41, Valley 10. And, you know, I think it's going to be a game where Jackson State jumps on them early and kind of, you know, holds off Valley in the second half. Because I just don't see Valley doing that much. And that's not really an insult to them. That's just how I feel right now about Valley. I would love to be proven wrong, but at this point, I don't have much else to go with on Valley. So we're going to leave that game and go to our next game, which actually is on Friday at 6 o'clock in Montgomery. Southern heads to Montgomery to take on Alabama State. 6 o'clock kickoff on ESPN3. This is the first time Southern and Alabama State have matched up since 2016. So this is a two teams that aren't really that familiar with each other. I mean, they played every year for a while, but then they had a long break because of divisions. So this is the first time these two teams will see each other. And, you know, in almost like a full recruiting class. So it's like, I doubt there's any guys on either team who know anything really about each other. So this is going to be a game where I feel like, before I get too in-depth into each team, but I'm going to tell you, this is a game that I feel like it's going to come down to turnovers and running the ball. Just to, you know, honestly, I feel like an early season matchup, you need to be able to run the football. And I know that Southern is able to do that because that's their identity. That's something Alabama State hasn't done well the last couple of years. But that's not saying that they're not capable, because they have a very good running back. But you really this is a game that can really trip up Southern because it's a road game and it's the first game. But we're going to get into that in a minute. Let's go ahead and look at the only thing we really can kind of glean from anything is to look at the stats from basically from 2019. Southern averaged 32 points a game, 427 total points. They allowed 26, 338 total points. 172 rushing first downs, 115 passing, 24 by penalty, 311 total first downs. Opponents, 96 first downs rushing, 139 passing, 21 by penalty, 256 total first downs. Southern ran for 2,970 yards on 565 carries, 5.3 yards per carry, 228 yards per game, 36 touchdowns. The opponent, 1,665 yards rushing on 452 carries, 3.7 yards per carry, 128 yards per game, 19 touchdowns. So as you can see, Southern ran the ball 113 times more than their opponent. So Southern really, really looked to keep the ball on the ground. They use everybody in the run game, receivers, quarterback, running back. They do a lot of option stuff. So Southern wants to run the football. So if you want to beat Southern, you really have to force Southern to pass the ball, because that's where they struggle with consistency. Southern was 206 of 345, 17 touchdowns and 14 interceptions, 2,273 yards, 174 yards per game, 257 of 416 for the opponents, 20 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, 3,385 yards. That's good for 260 yards per game. So as you can see, when it comes to the run game, Southern on both sides of the ball were very solid. On the other side of things, on the passing game, on both sides of the ball, Southern really was not that consistent. Although Southern was able to force 15 interceptions on the season, they threw 14. So that's just, you know, one of those things. Turnovers is what really did Southern in last year. If you want to look at anything that cost them, turnovers ate them alive during the season. So that's something that's definitely going to have to be cleaned up. Southern had 5,245 yards of total offense on 910 plays. That's 5.8 yards per play, 403 yards per game, 57 total touchdowns. The opponents, 5,050 yards on 868 plays, 5.8 yards per play, 388 yards per game, 43 touchdowns. Southern averaged 38 yards per punt. The opponents, 39. Southern was 79 of 158 on third down for 50%. That's a crazy number for an offense. So they really did a good job of moving the chains when they wasn't turning the ball over. 9 of 15 on fourth down for 60%. The opponents, 72 of 176 on third down for 40%. They got bit in the butt a lot on third downs, especially on passing downs, because they just really struggled with pass coverage. 13 of 28 on fourth down for 46%. Southern fumbled 24 times and lost 13. That's just an absurdly high number of fumbles for one team. 11 fumbles for the opponents and they lost 4. So Southern had a negative turnover margin, but they were able to still win games. Southern had 25 sacks, the opponents 31. A lot of those sacks really came from having quarterbacks that move around in the pocket. You get taken down trying to scramble, or just, you know, not really getting the ball out when you need to. Southern was 45 of 55 in the red zone, 39 touchdowns. The opponents 32 of 46, 24 touchdowns in the red zone. Southern was led in rushing by Ladarius Skelton with 870 yards on 189 carries. 4.6 yards per carry, 14 touchdowns, 66 yards per game. Devon Ben, 153 carries, 806 yards, 5.3 yards per carry, 7 touchdowns, 62 yards. Gerard Sims, 48 carries, 397 yards, 8.3 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns, 33 yards per game. Christopher Cheney, 40 carries, 230 yards, 5.8 yards per rush, 1 touchdown, 28 yards per game. Craig Nelson, 40 carries, 203 yards, 5.1 yard per carry, 2 touchdowns, 20 yards per game. Jamal Washington, 26 carries, 197 yards, 7.6 yard per carry, 3 touchdowns, 16 yards per game. Darbyon Prophet, 16 carries, 93 yards, 5.8 yards per carry, 1 touchdown, 10 yards per game. Glendon McDaniel, 24 carries, 92 yards, 3.8 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns, 9 yards per game. So as you can see, Southern had 8 guys with double-digit carries, including 4 guys with more than 40 carries, 2 guys with over 150 carries, including your quarterback and your lead running back. So Southern definitely wants to run the football. You know, you can't stress that enough. That's what they're going to do. That's their identity. And that's, you know, that's what you really have to account for. So if Southern's running game is clicking, then you're going to have a hard time defending them, because then that opens up the pass, because you have to commit guys to the run game. And when you start to have to play man defense, because, you know, you're trying to bring guys in to account for the run game, then the quarterback can get loose because your defensive backs are running down the field, not with their eyes in the backfield because they're trailing a man and he takes off by you. So Southern is very athletic at quarterback. They're not a great passing team. They really struggle at making more than one read, especially anything quick. And accuracy on short passes definitely is a problem. So, Skelton was 153 of 251, 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 1,642 yards. Glendon McDaniel, 553 of 91, 631 yards, four touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So, you know, nothing spectacular in the passing game. They did have a big play receiver, Hunter Register, 43 catches, 610 yards, 14 yard per catch, 11 touchdowns. Timothy Bedford, 36 catches, 386 yards, 1 touchdown. Jamal Washington, 25 catches, 341 yards, 2 touchdowns. Brandon Hinton, 24 catches, 257 yards, 10 yards per catch. Cameron Mackey, 17 catches, 199 yards, 11 yards per catch, no touchdowns. Devon Ben, 24 catches, 160 yards, no touchdowns, 6 yards per catch. So they, you know, and Southern also likes to get the ball to the tight ends. So they didn't catch an absurd amount of catches this year, but they were involved in the passing game. But Southern's problem this year is that they lose their top three receivers. So somebody's going to have to step up to be a security blanket for that passing attack. Somebody has to be the big play threat. Somebody has to be the guy who can make plays in the passing game. And when you run the ball at Southern, it's a double-edged sword, because if you don't move the football and you get behind the chains and you have to throw, then you got guys that you're not really sure on making plays. But if the offense is clicking, then those guys can make plays because they're going to be open more in one-on-one coverage. And Skelton especially is a quarterback that can throw the deep ball. His issue more is accuracy on his passes. So if you can force him to stay in the pocket and not roll out and take off, then you got a better chance at stopping them. But Southern's going to try to run the football. They do have a new offensive coordinator this year, but I think they're going to still lean on the run game because you have to kind of go with the horses that you have. So that's just going to be what Southern does. On defense, Calvin Lunkins, 89 tackles. Caleb Carter, 81. Benjamin Harris, 59. Joe Davis, 49. Jacoby Papillon, 48. Montavious Gaines, 43. Davin Cotton, 34. The Kevin Champion, 33. Jordan Eastland, 29. Jordan Lewis, 27. Tomaree Smith, 27. Jordan Davis, 26. Tackles for loss, Jordan Lewis, 11.5. Joe Davis, 9. Champion, 8.5. Ivy, 8. Jordan Davis, 7. Calvin Lunkins, 5.5 tackles for loss. Caleb Carter, 4.5. Papillon, 4.5. Porter, 4. C.J. Bryant, 3.5. Small, 3. Smith, 2.5. Benjamin Harris, 2. Gaines, 2. Clay, 2. Brunfield and Thomas, 1.5. And a bunch of guys with 1. Sacks, Lewis, 6. Ivy, 4.5. Joe Davis, 4. Jordan Davis, 3. Lunkins, 1.5. Bryant, 1.5. And 5 guys with 1 sack. Interception, Smith led the team with 5, Papillon 3, Brunfield 2, Lewis, Davis, Jordan Davis, Benjamin Harris, Eastland, Caldwell, each had 1 interception. Looking over on the other side of the ball, Alabama State's a team who is, I always said, the definition of inconsistency. They can, you know, they can blow you out one game and get blown out the next. You know, they're typically going to win one, lose one. Maybe throw a small losing streak in there, but offensively they don't really scare you, although they do have a receiver, Michael Jefferson, that I really like a lot. But Alabama State really struggled to score points last year. They had 22 points per game. They allowed 27, so they kept the games close, but they just really couldn't do a lot. 68 rushing first downs, 104 passing, 18 by penalty, 190 total. The opponents, 110 first downs rushing, 77 first downs passing, 23 first downs by penalty, 210 first downs total. 1,243 rushing yards for Alabama State on 395 carries, 3.1 yards per carry, 113 yards per game, 10 touchdowns. 2,255 yards for the opponents on the ground, 464 carries, 4.9 yards per carry, 205 yards per game, 21 touchdowns. Alabama State was 203 of 352 passing, 22 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, 212 yards per game, 2,333 yards passing. The opponents 144 of 292, 16 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 167 yards per game, 1,839 yards passing. Total offense 3,576 yards for the Hornets, 747 plays, 4.8 yards per play, 325 yards per game, 33 total touchdowns. The opponents 756 plays, 4,094 yards, 5.4 yards per play, 372 yards per game, 41 touchdowns. Alabama State averaged 42 yards per punt. Very good average. 35 for the opponents. 64 penalties for Alabama State. 64 yards per game on penalties for Alabama State. 705 yards on 74 penalties. The opponents 67 yards per game on penalties. 95 penalties, 743 yards. Alabama State was 67 of 170 on third down for 39%. 8 of 18 on fourth down for 44%. The opponents 56 of 159 on third down for 35%. 8 of 19 on fourth down for 42%. They Alabama State fumbled 12 times, lost 7. The opponents fumbled 13 times, lost 7. 22 sacks for the Hornets, 21 for the opponents. Alabama State with 26 of 36 in the red zone and 22 touchdowns. 30 of 43 for the opponents in the red zone, 27 touchdowns. So as you can see, Alabama State didn't do a good job with running the football. Defensively, they struggled against the run. They passed a little bit better, but they turned the ball over 16 times through the air. The opponents, because they ran the ball pretty much at will, they didn't have to pass as much, but they're going to have to be able to move the football some kind of way consistently on offense to be successful this year. Ezra Gray is the leading rusher. 157 carries, 654 yards, 2 touchdowns, 4.2 yards per carry, 59 yards per game. He is electric. He's also a return man. So he's a guy that you really have to kind of look out for because he's going to make plays if you're not careful. He can really hurt you with his speed, so you have to really account for that. But offensively, they have to find something consistent on the ground. Duran Bell, 69 carries, 351 yards, 5.1 yard per carry, 2 touchdowns, 43 yards per game. Ja'Cory Merritt, 72 carries, 186 yards, 2.6 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns, 16 yards per game. Dante Norris, 13 carries, 57 yards, 4.4 yards per carry, 5.1 yard per game. And that's pretty much it. They didn't really do a whole lot on the ground. Kadarius Davis was the quarterback. He ran 66 times for 107 for 3 yards, mainly sack yards and scramble loss yardage. So he lost 172 yards out of his 175 that he gained. So not a real threat on the ground, but you got to look out. You got to still account for him. He did have 2 touchdowns and a long of 14 yards on the season. Davis, 181 of 309 passing, 2,097 yards, 21 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Jet Evan, 21 of 41, 233 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. And that, those were the main two guys. Davis did miss some time with injury, and Evan came in to fill in for him. But Davis is the guy. Those 14 interceptions are way too high. That's something that he's going to have to take care of this year. And they had a guy, Michael Jefferson, at receiver, 49 catches, 767 yards, 15.6 yards per catch, 12 touchdowns, 69 yards per game. So he was by far and away the guy to get the ball to. And really, statistically, that's similar to what Southern had. Southern had one guy that caught a gang of passes and had a lot of touchdowns, but the guy, you know, you still have to worry about other guys hurting you, and that's those are the times that you get beat when other guys hurt you. Jahad Booker, 29 catches, 373 yards, 12.8 yards per catch, 4 touchdowns, 41 yards per game. Tyreek Allen, 29 catches, 267 yards, 9.2 yards per catch, 3 touchdowns, 204 yards per game. Hickson, 18 catches, 230 yards, 12.7 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, 46 yards per game. Moses Marshall, 10 catches, 127 yards, 12 yards per catch, no touchdowns, 14 yards per game. Ezra Garrett, 10 catches, 104 yards, 10.4 yards per catch, 9 yards per game. And other than that, everybody else had less than 100 yards. But they did have 10 guys that caught double-digit passes. Only one caught more than 30. So they kind of had Jefferson that they went to, and everybody else kind of got in where they fit in. And, you know, if they were able to make a play, that's good. If not, then, you know, it is what it is. So, offensively, not anything that's really going to scare you on paper, but they do have guys that can make plays, so you can't, you know, you can't disrespect what they do on offense. You just, you have to be careful, because this is a team that can strike you and sting you, no pun intended, but they, you know, they make their bones just kind of stand around in games. So Ershad Davis was the leading tackler with 66, Joshua Hill 59, Keenan Isaac 55, Devin Booker 53, Clark 50, Adams 43, Deron Johnson 38, Culpepper 35, Nicholas Terry 34, Carson 26, Ogletree 26, Hill 21, and King and Marrero Thomas with 20 apiece. Tackle for loss, Adams 8, Ogletree 7.5, Nichols 7, Booker and Johnson 6, Thomas 5, Culpepper 4.5, Davis and Isaac with 4, Clark, Hill, and Goodrum and Jones 3.5 tackles for loss apiece. Pope, Feltz, Lucky Owee with 2. Pope and Feltz, he's had 2.5. Isaac Nixon and Romperson each had 1.5 tackle for loss. They have four guys with 1 tackle for loss, and 2 with a half a tackle for loss apiece. Sacks, they were led by Booker with 4, Ogletree 2.5, Goodrum 2, Pope 2, Adams, Nichols, Thomas, Davis, Jones, Owee, each had 1.5 sacks. Culpepper, Clark, Feltz, and Romperson each had 1 sack apiece. And Carson with 0.5 sack. Interceptions, Culpepper had 3. Goodrum, Davis, Hill, Jeffrey Hill, Joshua Hill, and Darius King each had 1. So not a lot of interceptions for them on the season. 8 as a defense. They didn't really make a lot of plays when they were being targeted. Culpepper did have 10 pass breakups, so he did a good job at least defending the ball in the air. Alabama State, as I keep saying, is a team who you're not going to really find a lot on paper to sway you one way or the other. I do think the one thing that they definitely going to have to improve on this year is running the ball on both sides, pass, run defense and run offense. They're going to have to be a lot more consistent in that. And they have to find a way to make some things happen on the ground to kind of keep teams from just keying in on your passing game, which makes it harder for you if you facing, you know, a lot of teams might sit back in zones. They might double Jefferson until somebody else hurts them. And if you can get them behind the chains, their offense is not that, their passing offense is not that explosive. So if you can get them behind the chains, they're going to struggle. So you really have to be assertive against them on defense to kind of keep them, you know, at bay and keep them from getting any kind of offense or any kind of consistency. So this is a tough game for Southern because it's on the road and it's the first game, and this is the first game in a long time, honestly, for both teams. But Southern is playing on the road, and that's always kind of difficult to do. But I think Southern, because they run the ball, that's going to help a lot. Like they say, defense travels. Running the ball definitely travels. So if you're able to run the football, you can control the game. And I think because Southern can run the ball and they typically play well against the run on defense, that's going to be enough to get them through this game, because I think this is going to be an ugly game. I think it's going to be kind of sloppy because, you know, it's just you really can't account for much with Southern as far as playing pretty football. So Southern may turn the ball over a couple of times. Alabama State probably going to turn the ball over a couple of times, but I think Southern's going to make enough plays to win this game. I think they'll win this game. I'm going to say 34-20. Probably be a game that's close in the first half and Southern pull away late, but it should be an entertaining game. It's going, like I said, I doubt it's going to be a pretty game. I could see this game being a little bit lower scoring, but I think because Southern is able to run the football, that'll open up some things later in the game and Southern will be able to have some success. So moving on to our final game of the week, because we did have five games on the slate, but Alcorn opted out of the season. So that means Alabama A&M has no season opening game. So they're 1-0 right now. Grambling and Prairie View were slated to play in the State Fair Classic in Dallas on Saturday, but because of damage and issues with the Cotton Bowl and the State Fair grounds, they won't be able to play. So they moved that game to March 13th in Arlington. So those two teams are off. They'll start their seasons next week, hopefully, if things can go the way that they should be going. The last game we're going to talk about is Arkansas Pine Bluff hosts Texas Southern at noon on Saturday. Texas Southern is 1-0 on the season now. So they broke their losing streak, but in reality, on the field, they have not yet. So this is a big game for Texas Southern, because after this game, I think they play Prairie View. So they really need some success, some things to kind of get them going and help them put last year behind them. I mean, put 2019 behind them. I say last year so many times, but they really need a successful game to put 2019 behind them and move forward. So if they can find some kind of way to be successful, that would definitely go a long way, because last year they were not very good on offense, especially on the ground. They averaged 21 points per game. They allowed 45. They had 102 rushing first downs, 115 passing, 22 by penalty. That's 239 first downs. The opponents, 103 rushing first downs, 141 passing, 17 by penalty, 281 first downs total. Texas Southern ran for 1,658 yards on 455 carries, 3.6 yards per carry, 150 yards per game, 15 touchdowns. The opponents, 2,847 yards rushing on 465 carries, 6.3 yards per carry, 258 yards per game, 30 touchdowns. Texas Southern was 250 of 417 passing, 14 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 265 yards per game, 2,925 yards passing. The opponents, 230 of 373, 34 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 297 yards per game, 3,242 yards passing. Total offense, Texas Southern, 4,583 yards on 872 plays, 5.3 yards per play, 416 yards per game, 30 touchdowns. The opponents, 6,089 yards on 828 plays, 7.4 yards per play, 553 yards per game, 69 touchdowns. Those numbers on defense were absurd, especially early in the season. They kind of improved as the season went on, because, I mean, obviously you can't be much worse than they were early, but still not enough to get them a W. Texas Southern averaged 35 yards per punt, the opponents 37. 47 yards in penalties per game for the Tigers, 61 penalties for 517 yards, 96 penalties for the opponents for 920 yards, 83 yards per game. Texas Southern was 68 of 188 on third down for 36%, 15 of 28 on fourth down for 53%. The opponents 64 of 150 on third down for 42%, and 10 of 14 on fourth down for 71%. Texas Southern fumbled 24 times and lost 15, and 12 fumbles for the opponents, and they lost 8. Texas Southern had 15 sacks, the opponents 33. 27 of 39 in the red zone for the Tigers, 19 touchdowns, 44 of 53 in the red zone for the opponents, 39 touchdowns. So the opponents really did what they wanted when they got into the red zone, and that's never going to win you football games. Dominic Franklin led Texas Southern with 115 carries for 538 yards, 4.7 yards per rush, 4 touchdowns, 48 yards per game. Ladarius Owens, 84 carries, 412 yards, 4.9 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns, 41 yards per game. Tyler Cook, 61 carries, 219 yards, 3.6 yards per rush, 3 touchdowns, 21 yards per game. Ja'Cory Howard, 44 carries, 191 yards, 4.3 yards per carry, 23 yards per game. DeAndre Johnson, 11 carries, 187 yards, 1.7 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns, 20 yards per game. And Devin Williams, 26 carries, 98 yards, 3.8 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns, 12 yards per game. Johnson, 153 of 255 passing, 10 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 1,926 yards. He did miss some time with injury. Devin Williams, 97 of 162, 4 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 999 yards. Donnie Corley was the leading receiver, a guy that I really like a lot. 72 catches, 1,039 yards, 14 yards per catch, 3 touchdowns, 103 yards per game. Trendavian Dixon, he had a quiet year this year. The year before, he really had broke out. But he had 25 catches for 437 yards, 17 yards per catch, 4 touchdowns, 43 yards per game. Thurman Morbley, 32 catches, 342 yards, 10 yards per catch, no touchdowns, 31 yards per game. Roylane Oliver, 25 catches, 277 yards, 11 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 25 yards per game. Malik Webb, 32 catches, 277 yards, 8.6 yards per catch, 1 touchdown, 25 yards per game. Chris Long, 12 catches, 182 yards, 15 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, 16 yards per game. Keelan Davis, 20 catches, 173 yards, 8.6 yards per catch, 2 touchdowns, 19 yards per game. Patrick Howell led the team with 59 tackles, also Jadrain McGraw with 59, Taylor, 53, Edwards, 49, Murray, 47, Arnold Wasonia, 46, Benjamin, 45, Badejo, 44, Kefra, 43, Pippins, 35, Daigle, 34, and Carter with 31. Tackles for loss, Awuyi, 10, Taylor, 7, Badejo, 7, 4. Tackles for loss for Anderson, Howell, Kefra, and Duran and Robinson each had 3. McGraw, 2.5, Daigle and Carter with 2. Five guys with 1.5, and 5 guys with 1 tackle for loss. Sacks, Ono Wasonia, 3. Taylor, 2.5. Badejo, 2. Anderson, 1 sack. Robinson, 1 sack. Daigle, Carter, Walton, and Fletcher each had 1 sack, and 3 guys with 0.5 sack apiece. Benjamin and Edwards led the team with 2 interceptions, and Daigle had the other interception. So defensively, they were not that good. Offensively, they threw the ball pretty well, but still were unable to really put any points on the board, thus ending the season with an 0-11 record. Pine Bluff, as I said in my Pine Bluff preview on Sunday, was a team who really came out of nowhere to kind of finish with a 6-5 record. Because of the fact that I covered them just on Sunday, I'm not gonna go too in depth on their offense, on their numbers. But they ran the ball fairly well, 164 yards per game. 1,809 yards. They averaged 31 points a game, which was a nice improvement for them. Defensively, they cut their points per game down by a bunch, allowing only 27 for them, which was very good because the year before they just got totally gashed. They allowed 143 yards rushing, 3.8 yards per rush. So they did a good job of stopping the run, 1,581 yards for the opponents, but they did allow 20 touchdowns. So they did a better job of stopping the opponents, but they still gave up points, which it hurts more than yards. They threw the ball for 3,105 yards, 282 yards per game, 28 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. That number is really high. You know, that they had multiple games of with multiple interceptions, and that hurts a lot. They did play two quarterbacks, so sometimes that can factor in. The opponents, 219 or 374, 2,525 yards, 229 yards per game, 15 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Again, that's a number that they improved their passing defense. In 2018, they only had 5 interceptions as a team. They doubled that number, so that's, you know, that was a good way to make some plays and get off the field, allow your offense to make some plays themselves. 4,914 yards of total offense, 753 plays, 6.5 yards per play, 446 yards per game, 50 total touchdowns, 787 plays for the opponents, 373 yards per game, 4,106 yards of total offense, 5.2 yards per play, 38 total touchdowns. So these numbers improve so much. I mean, I said that Sunday, and I'm gonna say that today. Defensively, they just did such a better job than what they did the year before, especially in the pass game. Passing wise, their secondary in 2018 was just horrendous. I mean, they had a lot of guys who were playing who probably weren't ready yet, and that did them in. They were 46 of 142 on third down for 32%, not good. 11 of 23 on fourth down for 47%. The opponents, 70 of 174 on third down for 40%, and 7 of 17 on fourth down for 41%. Pombler fumbled 9 times and lost 5. The opponents, 24 fumbles and lost 11. 26 sacks for Pine Bluff, 18 for the opponents. They did a good job of protecting the quarterback. 34-43 in the red zone, 30 touchdowns for the Golden Lions, 33-35 for the opponents in the red zone, 22 touchdowns. That's not good, only getting 2 stops in the red zone. They did do a decent job of holding the teams to field goals and not touchdowns, but only being successful in the red zone twice as a defense is not going to win you enough games to really make a big difference. Taylor Porter was the leading rusher. He had 1,017 yards and 12 touchdowns, 101 yards per game. Keyshawn Williams, 339 yards, 3 touchdowns, 84 yards per game. And Omar Allen was the other guy who got carries, 59 carries, 224 yards, 3 touchdowns. Williams been battling injury the last couple years. Porter was the go-to guy. Allen filled in for Harper. For Williams when he went down, and he was able to make some plays. So you're going to have to count on somebody, probably Omar Allen, to really run the football for Pine Bluff, because Porter is gone now. Shannon Patrick, 145 or 231, 19 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. That was his biggest issue, was interceptions. 2,250 yards passing offense for him. Skylar Perry, 59 of 110, 8 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 784 yards. They alternated those guys a good bit throughout the season, and as the season went on, they kind of stuck with Patrick. I believe he transferred, if I'm not mistaken, so the ball goes probably solidly to Perry again, and we'll see what he can do. Harry Ballard III, 52 catches, 938 yards, 18 yards per catch, 10 touchdowns. He was their big play guy. DeJuan Miller, 43 catches, 779 yards, 18 yards per game, 7 touchdowns. Josh Wilkes, 31 catches, 447 yards, 2 touchdowns. Tyrann Ralph, 27 catches, 283 yards, 3 touchdowns. Jeremy Brown, 14 catches, 228 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Taylor Porter, 15 catches, 209 yards, and 1 touchdown. Defensively, Blake Connor, led the team with 77 tackles. Thigpen and Watts with 64. Stewart, 61. Gilliam, 57. Peppers, 51. Mitchell, 48. Steele, 46. Monroe Beard, 37. Jordan Brown, 37. Zion Farmer, 34. Paul Reeves, 31. Tackles for loss, Stewart, 16.5. Watts, 10.5. Mitchell, 10. Reeves, 7.5. Peppers, 6.5. Gilliam, 5. Beard, 4.5. Hamilton, 3.5. Thigpen, 3.5. Brown and McKinney with 3. Connor and Steele, 2.5. Farmer with 2. They had 4 guys with 1.5 tackles for loss and 4 with 1 tackle for loss. Stewart and Mitchell each had 5 sacks. Peppers, 3.5. Watts, 2.5. Beard, 2. Gilliam, 1.5. And then they had 3 guys with 1 sack and 5 guys with a half a sack apiece. Steele led the team with 3 interceptions. Blake, Connor, 2. Stewart, 1. Brown, 1. Reeves, 1. Thigpen, 1. Murphy, 1. And Washington with 1. So, like I said, I was really impressed with how the defense improved. We'll see if they can take another step. They do have a new head coach this year, Doc Gamble. So, we'll see what he can do. And this is probably a good game for them to start off at home against a team like Texas Southern who is still looking for answers themselves. But I really think, you know, this is obviously a very winnable game for Pine Bluff, and I do think they'll win this game. I don't think Texas Southern has enough right now. They're still searching for a lot of stuff. Pine Bluff still has some continuity coming back from last year, so I think they'll win this game. I'm going to say 41-17. And that's going to do it for today's show. We will be back on Sunday to recap all of these games. And we're officially in football season, so let's knock on some wood and hope these games are able to take place this week. And hope we can get in as many games on the season as we can, because I'm still not sold that we're going to get a full season. So anything we get at this point, I'm going to definitely take and love. So until Sunday, I'll see you guys later. And we out.